In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hello and welcome in to the Fog.net podcast. Michael Swain here, the Kansas beat writer for 24/7 Sports. Really excited about the podcast we have coming your way today. We are joined by Jarrett Johnson of InsideTheRedRaiders.com. We're going to preview Kansas at Texas Tech, which is set for this Saturday evening kickoff. ESPN Plus, not ideal, but, you know, it's dealing with it nowadays. But, Jarrett, thanks a bunch for coming on. How has the week been for you so far?
Yeah, first off, Michael, thanks for having me. I really enjoy, you know, sharing content with my brethren on the 24/7 Sports Network. And, the week's been good. It's, you know, basketball tipped off. And as Kansas fans know, you know, and Texas Tech has really kind of jumped into that, it's become a big deal. I mean, it's a celebration in West Texas and in Lubbock when once basketball season tips off nowadays. And then, yeah, football's in full swing. Yeah, of course, there's always recruiting and the early signing period with basketball and all that. It's just, there's a lot going on. It's a fun time. It's an exciting time, and I'm glad to be, you know, in the middle of it, kind of.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, we're recording this on Wednesday night. It'll run, you know, Thursday morning before KU's basketball game, and then 2 days later, it's a football game. But yeah. I want to start here. You know, Texas Tech under Joey McGuire. What's kind of the vibe been like around the team this season? Obviously, early in the year, there was the really big win over Texas. Obviously, schedule kind of gets a little tougher here as the season goes along, but just what's kind of the vibe been like around the program and Joey McGuire's first season?
Yeah, it's been overwhelmingly positive for most of the time. It's actually just been a year now since he was hired. It was November 8th, 2021. And, you know, it's been very positive because he, you know, he's a Texan, a true Texan. His daughter went to Texas Tech. His best friend played for Texas Tech back in the day. He gets the culture out here. So that allowed him to kind of hit the ground running. And then his recruiting has been amazing. They have a top 25 class still right now, you know, a month away from the early football signing period, and which is great for Texas Tech. You take that every cycle. It's a full class 25 and it's evenly dispersed throughout all the positions. So that has endeared himself to the fan base for sure. But also just kind of his enthusiasm, his energy. He's known for bringing great energy, and as he likes to say, every day he tries to be the same person, and that's been infectious throughout the program. Now they started off one of their first games was by beating Texas. I think it was the fourth game of the year's first Big 12 game, and that's a great way to start your career at Texas Tech is by beating UT. But here recently, the Red Raiders have lost 4 of 5. He has been very aggressive, and some of that worked earlier for him in terms of going for it on fourth down have kind of backfired, and it backfired against TCU last week. So it's really the first time he's facing true criticism as a head coach at the college football level. And, you know, Texas Tech fans are passionate. So it's a really interesting time right now because there has been so much goodwill, but now he's getting that first part of first real criticism. And, you know, being in the press conference on Monday and going through it with him, I thought he handled it well. I thought he answered some tough questions, you know, with poise and all that and had some thoughtful answers. But, you know, he's got to win. And this week's a big game in terms of what this season's going to be and possibly making a bowl or not and all that. So, yeah, it's a good question about McGuire.
Yeah, I you mentioned the recruiting. I mean, man, it seems like once every 2 weeks I go on Twitter and all of a sudden I'm seeing a new Texas Tech commitment graphic from, you know, a high 3-star somewhere out of Texas. And it's been really impressive to see. I'm curious. So you mentioned the aggressiveness there. I noticed that obviously there was, I think, the play against TCU were super aggressive on fourth down in kind of negative territory. Does that come, I guess, on offense and defense? How do they balance some of that aggressive style? And how have you seen maybe some of it shift as the losses have maybe started just to come as the competition gets tougher just because the Big 12 is so good?
Yeah, he hadn't shifted really a whole lot as far as I asked him about that, about going for it on fourth down. I mean, he did it against Houston in game two, which, I mean, was a fine team, but it's not even Kansas, quite honestly, right now. It's not Texas or TCU there, a top 10 team there. He's been consistent in terms of they have like a magic number. They use the analytics. If they get to that fourth and whatever the distance is in terms of the situation, they're going to go for it. Now, I'd like to see the book in terms of being down three against the number seven team in the country on your own 35 and going forward on fourth and two. I'd like to just see what that is, you know, what that data is. But, he did say, though, when I asked him about it in Monday in the press conference, that he originally said no punt, and then he changed his mind, said no, go. So he is kind of flip-flopping. He is rethinking it some. Hmm. I thought that was generous that he even offered that. You know, he didn't have to say that. He could have just done coach speak, but he said that he is second guessing some things. They do want to take into account more feel than just going the analytical approach. So it'll he's trying to figure it out. It's his first year, you know? So here's where I'm at. I didn't agree with going for it there, obviously, even before they tried it. But ultimately, philosophically, I'd rather the coach be more aggressive and fail than be too conservative and lose that way. I mean, I'd rather it work and win, of course, but I'd rather the coach be more aggressive than conservative, in my opinion.
For sure, definitely. And so, obviously, Texas Tech just played TCU, so it means we have to ask about the quarterback situation. It feels like every game it's been like that after someone plays TCU, but I think we're on four or five straight weeks of Kansas where I think since that TCU game, Oklahoma had a quarterback issue, Baylor, Oklahoma State, now Texas Tech. Walk KU fans through what exactly is going on with the quarterback situation, because I've seen that kind of – it seems like three guys have played this year. So I believe Morton was the one that was starting against TCU, but just walk fans through, I guess, kind of the quarterback dynamic at play here.
Boy, how long do we have on the podcast? Because it's been an adventure. Tyler Shuck started off the season as a starter. He won the job. He got hurt in the first game. Donovan Smith started for, I think, three or four games. He got kind of banged up, but he also was throwing a lot of interceptions. And so Baron Morton went in there. Baron Morton is a redshirt freshman who was a 4-star, Elite 11, one of the highest-rated guys to sign with Texas Tech in the modern era. So he comes with some chops. He has a very good arm and all that. But he hurt his ankle against Oklahoma State and then re-injured it against TCU. Like you said, a lot of quarterbacks have gotten hurt against TCU for whatever reason. He's out. He's been ruled out this week. So it's going to be either Tyler Shuck or Donovan Smith. They haven't said – I asked Coach McGuire about that on Monday, and, of course, you know, he said there's going to be a competition, and we'll see. They went with Tyler Shuck second after Baron went down last week. So, you know, the thought is that's probably going to be Shuck. But you're going to see some Donovan Smith too. And Donovan Smith is a guy who started for Texas Tech at the end of last year, beat Iowa State, beat Mississippi State in the bowl game, and he beat Texas. He was a starter – when they beat Texas this year. So, I mean, he has some skins on the wall. And, of course, Tyler Shuck did some things at Oregon before he transferred to Texas Tech. So these aren't green quarterbacks, but they're guys who have struggled some this year. I mean, if you ask almost every fan would say they would prefer Baron Morton start this week, but he's unavailable. So it's going to be the Shuck and Smith show.
Yeah, so I'll run through some stats real quick for fans that haven't had the time to look. So Shuck completing about 47% of his passes, about 7.2 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, two interceptions. You go to Smith, about 66.4% completion percentage, which is about close to what Jalen Daniels and Jason Bean are at, with 12 touchdowns and eight interceptions. So you think Shuck starts when he's been out there and you've been able to see him. What have you seen? Because I think when I saw him throw recently, I think it was against TCU, the arm strength didn't maybe look there because it was a shoulder injury he had early in the season, correct?
Yeah, and he had one last year too. And we've been told they're different injuries. He actually had a metal plate inserted this season after that injury, and he's back out there. I personally think you should go Donovan Smith, go run heavy. Mm-hmm. The coaches did ask me. Zach Kittley, the offensive coordinator, has said repeatedly he likes Tyler Shuck. He likes his leadership abilities, how much he can do in terms of processing information at the line of scrimmage, those kind of things. So that's what they like from Shuck. What I've seen from Shuck is, like you said, the arm strength. Like, I watched him all offseason, and he has considerable arm strength, like NFL arm strength. That's not what we're seeing right now. I don't know if it's because of the injury or injuries or what, but, the arm strength doesn't appear to be there. So, and while coaches like the guys who are well-prepared, of course, and know the offense in and out and can do all these things and have all those intangible leadership qualities, I'm not saying that's not important, but ultimately you have to perform when you're on the field. That's what I value. And I haven't seen that from Shuck really in his Texas Tech career. I mean, he had a good game against Houston last year. But other than that, I just haven't seen it. I've been underwhelmed with his actual performance on the field. Adonis Smith, I mean, he might beat Mississippi State or Texas, but he might throw four interceptions too. So I get their apprehension with him as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure that maybe comes into effect when you play a KU team that's averaging two turnovers per game forced four from freshman Garrett Rangel last week too. I'm sure that's got to be something that goes through their mind. But I'm so curious with Texas Tech's offense. They're the second fastest team in the country in terms of plays per minute. We've covered the quarterbacks and the aggressive approach, but is this a team that in terms of the speed is looking to run the ball, throw the ball? I guess, where do you feel like the strengths and weaknesses of this offense lie?
Well, that's a really good question, because I like their two running backs. Mm-hmm. So Roderick Thompson, he's top five in touchdowns scored in Texas Tech history. I mean, he's had some big games against really tough opponents. Taj Brooks is a very good running back, very good between the tackles, a push-the-pile kind of guy, but who could also make a couple guys miss and turn a 4-yard run into a 20-yard run. They're good, like, all-around backs, but the offensive line has struggled mightily, and it's banged up. The quarterbacks, a lot of the speed was really highlighted by Baron Morton. He has a really quick release that just really works well with his game. He did something similar to that. He ran a similar offense in high school. With Shuck, I think he's capable of it, but he's not the running threat that Baron Morton was, which you might need if you're going tempo. And then Donovan Smith, they really, when he started, which might be why they like Shuck perhaps more than Smith, they slow it down. They don't run as much tempo with him. So that'll be interesting. And with those two guys, I think it's completely different types of offense. I mean, with Donovan Smith, he runs a lot of short yardage stuff. He's a very good power runner. Big dude, 6'5", 235. He does have a good arm, but it's a slower release. Shuck is fast, but he's not really a runner. I know that doesn't make sense. He has good straight line speed, but not a lot of wiggle in his game. Mm-hmm. He doesn't break a lot of tackles. So their receivers are big, but very inconsistent and young. They have a couple good inside receivers, Xavier White, Miles Price, but they've been kind of banged up. They have three really nice tight ends that I think they only saw one pass last year. One of them is 6'9", 260, and Mason Tharp, and Baylor Cup is he's a smaller of those two. It's like 6'6", 245, a former five-star recruit. So they have talent at that position. But when they've utilized it, like against Texas, against West Virginia, there's been games they won. They've had a lot of success. But last week, I think only one tight end one time saw a target, which was almost a touchdown. It was knocked away by a TCU defender. So I don't know. You're asking me. This is the question that I get from Tech fans. Like, what is the identity? What are they trying to do?
Yeah.
And it's hard to understand. One of the reasons is because of the offensive line. Another reason that's a problem. And another reason is the rotation of quarterbacks that all bring they're similar in some ways, but they bring different things to the table. So,
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, which makes total sense, right? If you're bringing in different quarterbacks, different skill sets, it's going to be hard to nail down and get the timing down and everything like that. So I totally understand that. Let's switch to defense. You know, something that the KU coaches talked about this week is how multiple Texas Tech can be defensively, the different things that they do. In terms of like the base stuff of what you see from Texas Tech kind of like regularly, what exactly is kind of the identity or what you're seeing from the first year defensive coordinator?
Well, he's aggressive. Mm-hmm. I think any opposing offensive coordinator is being honest, they'll say, look, they're going to bring pressure. But even when they don't, they have Tyree Wilson, who, in my opinion, I know I cover him all the time, so people say I'm biased, but I think he's, you know, if not the best, one of the very best defensive players in the Big 12. He's been projected as a first-round pick. He's 6'7", or 6'6", 275 pounds, and, I mean, not an ounce of fat on him. He's very athletic. I think he's either – he leads the country, actually, Pro Football Focus setting quarterback pressures. He's among the leaders in the Big 12 in sacks. So he's a problem. TCU was triple-teaming him at times last week, and he was still pushing the pocket back. I mean, he's one of the best defenders Tech has had in quite some – since Jordan Brooks, who's leading the NFL in tackles right now for Seattle. So he's a very good player. A lot of the defense starts with him. Josiah Pierre, opposite outside linebacker, really stepped up with a couple sacks against TCU last week. If they could start getting more production from the other end, then, yeah, they're going to be – their pass rush is going to be very good. But they have veteran guys up front in Tony Bradford and Jalen Hutchings. I think they're like 3-4-year starters who have really come on. Each of them have had their best seasons. Krishan Merriweather leads the team in tackles. He's your classic scraping sideline to sideline linebacker. Kosai Elders is next to him. He's a little undersized, but he's fast, athletic linebacker. Their safeties are all pretty good. Dadrian Taylor Dimerson, Muddy Waters, who plays like the hybrid that everybody runs now, outside linebacker, safety. He's kind of that guy. He's been very good. He was like a 3-year starter at Duke before going over to Tech. Yeah, he's a good player. He'll probably be in the NFL if, you know, just needs that opportunity. Reggie Pearson used to play. He started for a Wisconsin team that went to the Rose Bowl before going over to Tech. He's a hard-hitting guy. And they have two really big corners. So that allows the corners that the pressure that Tech's able to get on a consistent basis with Tyree and some of those guys allows the corners to press and be very aggressive. And they have those safeties I mentioned cleaning a lot of things up. So they will blitz guys off the slot. They will blitz corners, safeties. Sometimes they'll be in a three-man. Sometimes they'll have even front. They really do mix it up. And what Tim DeRuiter does that I like the most is he disguises it. It'll look like one thing, and then Tech does something completely different. And that has helped the defense a whole lot. I think that's really what it's all about, playing defense nowadays, is disguising what you're actually doing and being able to pull it off.
Definitely. And you make quarterbacks think, and it takes a split second, and it compounds. So I'm curious, because I was looking at some of the numbers earlier today, and you know, obviously he played super well against West Virginia, right? 10 points allowed, really good performance. But you mentioned kind of the skid they've been on, you know, four out of the last five, right? I guess when things are going wrong for them defensively, what exactly does that look like? Or what are maybe other teams doing that all of a sudden you're seeing like, oh no, the defense isn't playing. It doesn't have it today.
Well, you look at TCU. Let's just look at the most recent game. Mm-hmm. I mean, TCU returned a punt for a touchdown to open the game. So this is one of the top 10 offenses in the country. They scored 27 points. They only had 6 points on offense through three quarters. And we knew it was happening with this offense struggling that the defense had been on the field too long. They have more depth. They're playing, you know, too deep everywhere, which Tech hadn't been able to do for a long time. And I know Kansas has had some roster problems. So you know what I'm, you know, Kansas fans and Michael, people like you cover Kansas the way you do, you know what I'm talking about. That's been a struggle. That hadn't been a struggle this year. The problem has been the offense has been so inconsistent, has turned the ball over so many times, and then they've been aggressive going for it on fourth down. You could only hold a Big 12 offense like, say, TCU out of the end zone or out of the red zone for so long, and especially if you're giving the ball inside your own territory by being aggressive and failing to go to convert on fourth down. So they've asked the defense to do a lot. Now, in the fourth quarter, has the levee broke at time, like against Baylor, who dominated the time of possession by running the ball, and then with their defense against Tech's offense, and then TCU in the second half kind of said, okay, we got to start controlling the clock and wear these guys down. And yeah, the levee broke. So that's where the problem has been on defense. I think if you're a Kansas fan out there and you're looking at this game, you look at the stats, don't believe all – first off, the stats are better, but don't believe everything you see, because in terms of the eye test, you're going to be surprised that the defense is actually the strength of this team, and the offense has been a real problem for Texas Tech, which I haven't been able to say that in a decade. So.
That's so true. And I do like the depth thing you mentioned, because that's something that Kansas ran into in years past as well. And then all of a sudden this year, you know, the transfer portal allows them to go out and get some guys that can help add some of that depth. And you mentioned the Baylor game. You say that, and I'm like, ah, yeah, that's what Baylor did to Kansas. They ran the ball, and the defense forced turnovers, and all of a sudden KU's down, you know, 28-3. And so I totally get it. So in terms of big picture for this game then, you know, when you go into the stadium on Saturday, I guess for you, when you think of the keys to victory for Texas Tech, what do you need to see from the Red Raiders to feel like, okay, they've got a chance to win this game and should win this game if they do this?
Well, first off, I want to say the number one thing in my mind, and I said this in some video content, you know, we recorded earlier up there at Tech, was this is a huge game all of a sudden. I mean, I don't mean any disrespect, just being honest. I mean, you could say the same thing about like Tech basketball up until recently, was that you know, Kansas was a win you were expecting when you looked at the schedule. And that is not the case. This is a legitimate Kansas team. You watch them play, you see their roster, see what Leipold's done. It's been really impressive. And all of a sudden, Tech has three games left. They got to win two. They have at Iowa State, which I know they're down this year for them, but it's always tough there. I mean, that's, you can't count that as an automatic win. I don't care who you are. And then they have Oklahoma at home, which, again, I know they're not the normal Oklahoma, but still, they still have those athletes. It's still Oklahoma. They got to find a way to win two of these games. All of a sudden, this game at home against Kansas is critical. So, and what they need to do, I think they need to run the football. They need to find a way to consistently run the football. I think tempo could help with that. If you're able, we just talked about the defenses being tired. If you're able to tire Kansas out a little bit, keep some of the same personnel on the field that perhaps you like to run the ball, they do have the running backs to get it done. And I think Kansas, at least on paper, I've only watched parts of several of the games. I haven't watched full games yet. Mm-hmm. But it appears they get after the quarterback. They turn the ball over. You don't want to get an obvious passing downs against this Kansas defense. Mm-hmm. But you can run the ball against this. That's what it appears. So if Tech could do that, I think that'll go a long way. Control the clock, tire them out instead of your defense getting tired. I think that'll be huge. And then I don't know if I expect this or not, but what I would like to see is a fundamentally sound called game. You don't need an onside kick. You don't need a fake punt. You don't have to go for on fourth down eight times. I have a lot of respect for this Kansas team. I'm not even sure I'm picking Texas Tech in this game, despite everything I just said with how big of a game. Yeah, I really have a lot of respect for this Kansas team. But I also don't think you need to do all the chicanery, the trickery, and all this. I mean, be cute, I think, is a word a lot of people use. Just play sound fundamentally sound football. And I think Tech has a good chance in that environment, a night game at home, to come out with that critical win.
Yep, I think that's really good analysis there. You know, Tech is able to run the ball. That is problems for Kansas, because the really good performance Kansas has had defensively have come when they've stopped the run, forced the team to get third and long. Like you said, obvious passing downs and everything like that. So really great stuff, Jarrett. Where can everyone find you, all the Kansas fans that want to kind of get caught up on Texas Tech and kind of everything that's going on around the team?
Yeah, InsideTheRedRaiders.com, of course, and then on Twitter, at Johnson Jarrett, and then at TTU247 for the Inside the Red Raiders account on Twitter.
Perfect. Awesome. Great stuff, Jarrett. Thanks a bunch for coming on.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.